My day just got 1,000% better because Laura Sievert has arrived at the WT80 studios and she does not have on anything black and gold, nor does she have that disgusting Iowa coffee mug with her. So welcome.
I mean, you don't know that's true for sure. I am wearing a jacket, so.
Well, that's true. I don't care if you have what your underwear looks like.
That's right. All right.
The Mary Griffith Show brought to you by Harvest Ridge Coffee and Refreshment Services Pepsi. We've got so much going on in the arts. Let's just go ahead and start with Saturday night. It's Light the Park.
Yeah.
And that's always fun in Washington Square. I was talking with Jason Trader last night from TNT Golf Cars and Motorsports. And his crew has been volunteering their time. I mean, Jason's been paying them, I'm sure. But they've been, you know, they've been out decorating the park and doing that as a labor of love, as he called it, for our community. So,
yeah,
Small Business Saturday. Go out and do some shopping. If you need a golf car or a vroom scooter, go to TNT. They'll have special Small Business Saturday deals. And
that's
then
right.
Light the Park. So tell us about Light the Park.
Light the Park is really supposed to kick off the holiday season downtown and remind everybody not just of the joy of the season, but of the fact that when you spend money locally, you are circulating it in our economy. So, you know, it's easy to order online and all of those things, but nobody online is going to come back and put an ad in your kid's baseball program or, you know, music program or whatever. So we always like to give a shout out to our favorite businesses. One of the things people don't know about the district is you kind of think of it as this heart of downtown area, but it's actually a little bigger than that. So it goes clear to, I want to say Jefferson Street, like Madison Davis Bikes is in the district technically. So like it's the shopping district is a little bigger than you think. So remember all of those downtown. No, that's true.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. They got signage, man. I'm going to find out the borders of the district. Either way, if it's a local business, I don't care if it's on the moon. Shop local.
Shop it.
Yeah, oh, wait, I guess that wouldn't be local.
Just be in the district.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, but, you know, the truth of the matter is, yeah, the most important thing about Saturday is to shop local. Now, obviously, the district has a huge, you know, there's a concentration down there.
Concentration, sure.
But the most important thing is to shop local on Saturday. That's the day to, you know, refrain from big box commerce and go down and get things that you can get only at your local. Just saw Greg Davis last night from Madison Davis.
Did you?
Shop. Yeah, he's on the plan commission. You know, there's a perfect example of somebody who has taken their business, improved it.
Yeah.
Really made it a shining example on the corner there. Looks great.
Right.
Makes everybody happy. You know, because who doesn't want a bike?
I'm sure they popped into my head because I asked for Christmas. My kids asked what I wanted, and I wanted my bike to have a tune-up because I have a very nice bike from Madison Davis that I, you know, have done rag-bry on a couple of times. It needs a new chain and just a look-over. And I was
just like a car. You got to go in and get it fixed.
It has, just like a car, mine has 14,000 miles on it. My bike does, more than 14,000 miles on it.
Which means your legs have 14,000
miles. My legs have 14,000 miles on them.
Do they have an odometer on a bike?
I have a computer on my bike,
yeah. Oh, wow,
yep.
Cool.
Yeah, I can tell how fast I'm going. I know what my top speed ever is.
What is your top speed ever?
Oh, it's scary. You want to know?
Yeah.
I once hit 49 miles an hour on my bike.
Wow.
Going down a hill in Dubuque, Iowa, there's a ride called Tom Rob up there, Tour of the Mississippi River Valley. And I was very, very frightened. That is too fast. I love a hill that gets you going like 30, feel like you're really fast, but man, 49, too much.
Okay.
Too much. Not that girl. So
okay.
But anyway, so. That's probably why they were on my mind. But yeah, back to Small Business Saturday. It doesn't matter which small business you support, get out there. And make those purchases locally because, you know, that's going to come back to this community. Another one downtown that I really love is Christine's, Expressions by Christine and all of her mm-hmm. personalized stuff. She is a huge supporter of the arts. So every time we have something going on, she's the first one to make us stadium chairs to auction off or sweatshirts or whatever.
That's fantastic. She does a lot for our community. So shop local on Saturday and then head down to Washington Park from 5:30 to 8:30. They're going to be having, you know, Mrs. Claus and Santa Claus will be there. The Children's Museum Snow Sensory Bin and Igloo will be set up. There'll be lots of photo opportunities. And you can bring a new unwrapped toy for Tots. And, but hot chocolate and sugar cookies provided by Kohl's Wholesale for the first 2,000 in attendance.
Mm.
So, I mean, let's hope we get more than 2,000 in attendance, but get down there. They'll start serving that up about 5:30, and I think the actual tree lights go on at 6. And so it's going to be a great day, and it's Saturday in Quincy's Washington Park. For more information, visit thedistrictquincy.com.
And I don't want to forget to say Quincy Concert Band will be there too. So they're the low brass ensemble. So they'll be doing and they don't see them too often, but when you do, they're so good. They're so stinking good. Love it.
Okay, great. Up at the gazebo, of course. Then Sunday, the music series is the Christmas Trilogy, Sunday afternoon at 4 at Trinity United Church of Christ. If you're not sure where that's in, it's basically out on South 24th at Cherry Lane. Beautiful Christmas program. Can you tell us about this? Because some of the people that are coming, they've been mainstays in our tri-state area, not just Quincy, but the tri-state area for years.
Yeah, that's right. It's got some really terrific vocalists here. Lisa Blake, she's a mezzo-soprano. Kevin Job, right? Is that how you say it? Just Job. I always want to say Joby when I look at it. I don't know why that is. He's a tenor, but I know that. Doris Sanders is a soprano, and a special guest, Becky White, on piano. And they're going to do both contemporary and classic Christmas music and carols for Sunday Music Series this time. Sunday Music Series is that opportunity to see really great free accessible music all of the time. It starts at 4 p.m. and that's at that Trinity United Church of Christ there at South 24th Street.
24th and Cherry Lane, yeah.
Yeah, 24th and Cherry Lane, that's right.
The actual address is 2020 South 24th.
That's right. But a whole year of terrific programming from Sunday Music Series. Don't miss out.
It is all free, too.
Yeah.
So, again, that's Sunday afternoon at 4. Beautiful, beautiful day. The Sunday Music Series, started by George Irwin years and years ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
We were just looking at George's. I don't know if you know this, but Arts Quincy, we spent a lot of time making a Wikipedia page for George. These days, to make a new Wikipedia page, you have to verify every claim that you're trying to make in a news source. So, we wanted to say, well, he founded the Americans for the Arts. So I had to find a news source from the 60s to prove that he was a founder. So we put a lot of work into that. But we were just looking at it yesterday, and I'm sure Sunday Music Series was on there. But I could only put it on there if I could verify it in something in the news. So go check out George M. Irwin's Wikipedia page, because we put some work in that thing.
That is fantastic. Well, you know, George Irwin started the whole shoot and match with Arts Quincy. He did so much for our community. He has passed now, but we can continue in his spirit by supporting Arts Quincy and all the arts organizations. And this is the time of year when people are naturally more generous. Thanksgiving is upon us. Christmas is upon us. And, you know, if you really don't know what to get somebody, you can always make a tribute to them. You know, give a gift to the Arts Quincy in tribute of Grandma and Grandpa, or in tribute of your 14 nieces and nephews that, you know,
love the arts.
Love
or whatever.
The arts.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about end of the year giving and all year round giving at Arts Quincy.
It's really important to all of the arts organizations, not just to us, but all of us depend on local support. It really takes a mixture of support to make the programs happen that we want to do. So, you know, we're doing this big kids program, or we're doing a tour of music out at the veterans home and local nursing homes. That kind of thing takes you guys being a supportive of it. And it doesn't have to be a ton of money. So one of my favorite ways to give is actually sustaining memberships, which is $5 a month. So you sign up for it, and then it just goes until you tell it to stop. But $5 a month, I just say, buy. It's less than a cup of coffee these days. I used to say buy the arts a cup of coffee, but if you go to some of these places, more than $5 these days. But it's a big deal for Arts Quincy. For everybody who donates, you're going to get a print. We always do it. So this is interesting. We always do a print of a local artist's work. This is my ninth year at Arts Quincy, or going into my ninth year at Arts Quincy. And we have never used any of my artwork. And the girls this time said, "Hey, Laura,
am I going to get one?"
So you're going to get one of my pieces of artwork this time, which is unusual for me. I'm a little bit nervous about it because it's like putting myself out there to everybody. But we wanted to do something special since the bicentennial is coming next year. So I did a pastel drawing of the Lewis Round Barn there at the Adams County Fairgrounds. It's like a sunset drawing. It's very colorful. The prints turned out great. Royal Printing did a great job. It's radio, but I'm going to look it up so I can show Mary.
I'm excited because, of course, as a contributor, I get the gift every year. And you know what? They're so nice. I have them on display. I don't be insulted, but I have them on display in my bathroom.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. They're small, yeah.
Yeah, they're small, and you know, you just need something to kind of perk that place up, and you know, people are in there for a short period of time, but while they're washing their hands or whatever, okay, I'm going to be the art critic now. What are you going to do if I say I think it's hideous?
I know. I'm very worried about it. I'm not going to lie.
It's beautiful. That is gorgeous. It is the round barn, and it's a sunset behind it. And there's even a windmill and a tree line, and it's very, very well done.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Move over, Bob Ross. Here comes Laura Sievert.
Well, here's even better news, because if you donate $25 or more before the end of the year, you could be entered to win the original, the actual drawing. So we framed it,
this could be priceless.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but hopefully it looks great on somebody's wall. I worked pretty hard on it, and you can view it online on our website and things like that, too. But if you make any donation between now and the end of the year, you're entered to win the original. And it's like a, I can't remember how big it is. It's, like 11 by 8, 14, maybe 16.
It's
strange.
It's
a big.
It's a strange.
Oh, of course. You know how we are.
I mean, it can't be like 8.5 by 11.
It's already framed. So I got a nice wood frame, since it matches the kind of the round barn vibe. So love to have you make a donation, support what we do, and for the very first time, get one of my pieces of artwork. Please tell me you love it, even if you are
Love it. I do love it. I'm going to get one, and maybe I'll even give you an extra $25 this year so that I can be in for the drawing, as they say. Folks, end of the year giving at artsquincy.org, and they are a great thing to support. One more thing.
I'm always making a face.
You're going to talk about Iowa Brass. You're going to talk about Iowa Brass.
Well, I have a little news on that.
What?
So I was going to talk about Iowa Brass. One of the tenor horn players cannot make this trip, and they called me up to the big leagues, so I will be playing with Iowa Brass.
Oh my gosh.
I'm practicing my tail off. My whole face is kind of tired from it, to be honest. But so I will be playing tenor horn with Iowa Brass this trip here. So I extra want you to come out. So there'll be my husband and I, but my husband has been in Iowa Brass for a long time. He is a terrific, terrific player. He plays the baritone. But I'm kind of a sub for them. This will be my third concert with Iowa Brass. And I feel really outclassed when I'm there, but I love doing it. So I've been playing all of the music on repeat at my house. It's going to be so much fun.
You know, it's not the think system. You can't just listen to it. It's not music, man. You can't just go la di da di da. You got to actually practice.
I got to practice so much. So the horn parts are really cool. They often have a lot of movement in them, and they have a lot of runs and things. So I've been practicing a lot. But it's really interesting takes on some Christmas pieces that you already know. We're doing a Jingle Bell March. So it's a march written with the themes of Jingle Bells. And, man, it is so cool. I love playing it.
Okay.
We're doing one of the other cool pieces is there's a bass trombone soloist who is doing a play on Frosty the Snowman, where we will decorate the bass trombone player as Frosty the Snowman while he's playing. You guys are going to love it. It's going to be so good. So $25. Those tickets are $25 at quincycivicmusic.org.
December 8th at the Croc Center.
And kids 18 and under are free.
Up next, we'll hear from the URSA Farmers Cooperative about the farm markets, and then we'll talk with John Wood Community College, Kristen Ritterbush, about career opportunities. So thank you very much, and happy Thanksgiving, Laura Sievert. This report is brought to you by Bayer and the Eastern Missouri Cattle Commission. We are 21 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour, and Kristen Ritterbush is here from John Wood Community College. You know, community colleges have a special mission. They are supposed to be inexpensive. They're supposed to meet the needs of the community. And, of course, anyone who wants a career. Now, most of us think, well, what do I want to be when I grow up? And you're having that discussion when you're 17 or 18. There are a lot of people who are 45 and are still having that discussion because the world has changed so much. And maybe their factory shut down, or maybe a factory's opening and they need to learn how to run the high-tech equipment. So first and foremost, welcome to the Mary Griffith Show.
Thanks, Mary. Happy to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at John Wood. You can throw in any personal things you want, but tell us about you and your John Wood affiliation.
Sure. So I'm currently the Director of Pathways at John Wood. I've been at John Wood for 13 years, started out in public relations, went to admissions, and now I'm director of Pathways, which encompasses admissions and advising, just onboarding and student support. You know, we are the ones, our admissions team is going out and recruiting students. Our advising and success coach team are the ones working with students as they go through. And John Wood as a whole, we have been adopting a guided pathways model. It's a national movement with data-informed decisions that increase student success. And so we've undergone a lot of changes and a lot of restructuring to support that initiative. And really the most of it is really putting the focus on what the career path is going to be, and then let's figure out how to get you there. So it's not just talking about the college and all of our great things that we have going on. The focus with students of all ages is really what is the end goal, and then let's figure out the best option to help you get there.
You know, there are so many careers that we're desperately in need of. You just had a healthcare pathway day. Mm-hmm. You do have another pathway day coming up. Let's talk about that, and then I'll get into some specifics, but let's learn about the next pathway day and who is invited and how do we, you know, I guess everybody can come, but I mean, who is it targeted towards and how do we register?
Yeah. So, one of the shifts is having these, recruitment events that are targeted to these specific pathways. So
like
the specific career area.
Like teaching.
Yes. We had one for education earlier this fall. The next one coming up December 6th is for healthcare. And what we find is that students kind of think about maybe the top 10 things that they've heard about, you know, across the board. Like they've heard about nursing and they've heard about being a high school teacher. They've heard about this. But when you get into an area, there are so many options for career paths that students just aren't aware of. And when we can expose them to that, it makes it just, it gives them direction and it gives them something that they want to work towards. So the healthcare pathway day is going to be December 6th. So the structure of these, we have hands-on sessions, you know, students want to learn hands-on. So we're going to have different situations for nursing, surge tech, emergency services, some PT, pre-med type of tracks as well. Then one of the most favorite sessions that happened at the education day was professional speed dating. So we have professionals from the area in lots of variety of positions come in, and the students get to either individually or small group, depending on how many we have, get to hear from them in, you know, 4 to 5 minutes about them, about the path they took, what they do, what their typical day looks like. So they're not only meeting people doing the work, but they're learning about these different varieties
right.
of positions.
And that's so important, because how many people have you talked to that are young and say, I love children, I want to be a teacher? Yes. Well, guess what? My cousin loves children and she wanted to be a teacher, but after 3 years in the classroom, she's done. Now, I hate that, because she has great talent. Her parents spent a lot of money to put her through school. We don't want to lose any more teachers. And I think really what she needs to do is find another pathway in education.
Exactly.
Because when you get into a school district that maybe they don't support your needs, or if you are somewhere, the good news, if you're in a really high demand career like teaching, you have more mobility options.
Yes.
You know, it's not like, oh, even in Quincy. I live in Quincy. Well, I can teach in Palmyra, Camp Point. I can teach in Mendon. I can teach, you know, in mm-hmm. Ewing, Missouri if I want to. So don't limit yourself. And the other thing is, so many people haven't heard, like healthcare. Well, it's more than being a doctor or a nurse. Those are important.
Yes.
But there are now nurse practitioners. Pharmacy. Oh, my gosh. Pharmacy is so shorthanded.
Yes.
Now, it has been for about 10 years. But there's a critical crunch right now. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law are both pharmacists, and both are retired now. And, you know, there's nobody coming up to take their places. And again, you know, you cannot graduate pharmacy school at John Wood, but you can certainly get a good base down, and then you can learn about other options that are available.
Correct.
Because Blessing Hospital employs pharmacists. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Hy-Vee Grocery Store employs pharmacists.
Mm-hmm.
There are, one of my cousins, everybody in my family is either a chiropractor or a pharmacist. I don't know what the weirdo thing about that is, but a compounding pharmacist. Yeah, I don't think I can explain it adequately, but they work in a laboratory, okay?
Yeah.
So
The positions and the variety are exponential. And I think when students and when we just talk to people that have gotten to whatever career path they're in, it's usually a windy road, right? It's not a direct path from A to B. And I think that's good for students trying to figure it out to hear, is that you need to pick something that's going to give you options.
Right.
And then take the doors when they open, you know, and you're not going to have it all figured out when you're 17, 18, or even 40.
I love that. Kristen Ritterbusch, she said something brilliant there. Take the doors when they open.
Yes.
So many people, for example, just in the healthcare field, you know, surgical tech, the person who sterilizes all the equipment. I mean, nobody heard very much about that job. It's not necessarily glamorous, but in a way it can be, because only performing the job when surgery is being performed. So you could have a normal schedule, possibly. Mm-hmm. There's just so much in the healthcare field. And this next one on December 6th is all about healthcare.
Yes.
And so if you're like, well, I kind of care about people, but I don't want to be around sick people all the time.
There's options for that,
you know, or, direct patient care is not for me, or I'd like to be more in a research field.
Yes.
The problem is we don't know what we don't know.
Correct.
And so these pathway days say, look, here's what you have to do to get started. I always think it's so brilliant. I mean, if you want to be a doctor, mm-hmm. all you have to do is take a CNA class. Get a job as a CNA. Then that company will pay you to take your nursing degree. Then your nursing degree employer will probably pay you to continue on as a nurse mm-hmm. practitioner, or maybe even go to med school. But getting your foot in the door and then figuring out the pathway. Because,
yes.
And even in the medical field, veterinarian. Because if every 8-year-old girl that wanted to be a doggy doctor became a doggy doctor, we'd have a overabundance of veterinarians. But indeed, we have an extreme shortage of veterinarians, especially for large animal practice. So
yes.
It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy your golden retriever, but maybe when you go to work, you'd find it more lucrative to take care of a giant cow, you know.
Exactly.
With a mastitis or something, you know.
Yeah.
You can still enjoy your dog at home, but when you go out to the veterinary career, maybe the best option for you, depending on where you want to live, is something like that. So
yes.
How do you mold young adults and middle-aged adults into, this is the pathway now, how are you going to start? Because taking that first step is tough.
Yeah, so the process we go through individually with students especially is we ask a lot of questions. You know, for example, healthcare. We talk a lot about patient interaction. Like when you think about your job, how much patient interaction is there? Do you want to be more of a support role? Do you mind bodily fluids? I mean, like, you know, those are some of the questions that we have. And so we just ask a lot of questions that gets them thinking. We also have some assessment tools. We have a new assessment tool that's really in-depth and very good at looking at not only just skills assessment, but their personality, right? To help them, especially those that have just no idea. It helps them kind of narrow down to a direction. The other thing we encourage students to do is come to events like this where they're getting some hands-on experience. It's not just researching it or watching videos, but actually experiencing
talking
it.
Talking to people that have the job.
And hands-on. So, you know, in previous events, we had a session that had a bunch of cow organs. And they got to pick them up and touch them and look at them. And a majority of the students really liked that. There were some students that did not go well. But it's important for them to know that that may not be something that they want to have a career in, right? You know, maybe dealing with organs and parts and smells, and that may not be for you.
I think in the old days, the way educate, you know, it's really silly, but we've changed so much, and I think the community college movement has helped this.
Mm-hmm.
In the olden days, you know, when you were 16 or 17, you said, well, I want to be a police officer, so I'm going to college for that. And then after you graduate, then you became a police officer, and then you found out, I hate that.
Yeah.
What the hell was I thinking?
Yes.
Teachers, perfect example. If I know more special ed teachers who are not special ed teachers. It's like the place where careers go to die. And yet we have special ed teachers, and some of them didn't start in special ed.
Yeah.
So we really have to, you're helping them hone this down. It's like, I know I kind of want to do this, but there may be an aspect of that that I really don't enjoy.
Yes, and job shadowing is so important. You know, you get a glimpse of it.
Really like.
Yes, you get a glimpse of it in, you know, these events that we're doing, but it's very short, you know. It's a good start, but then diving into that deeper, doing job shadowing, we've got a career services department that can help connect students to those opportunities. In healthcare, you know, our local HR departments, they are very willing to help students come in and job shadow because that's helping them build their force, right? I'll give a personal example. My daughter was interested in OBGYN. She did job shadowing for school. It was required as they were juniors. The first time she job shadowed, she was at the hospital for like 4 hours, and she got to sit in on a delivery. And so in that moment, in those hours, she was so sad when it was time to leave. She got to see kind of the roles of everybody in that room. It helped her solidify. And from that point forward, she was like, I want to be an OB nurse. Like, and she's done additional job shadows. But that spark that lit was so important. So regardless of whether it's healthcare or education or engineering or whatever it is, being able to spend just even a half day or a couple hours with somebody doing that work, it gets you to confirm that that's maybe what I want to do before you go to school for 2 or 4 or 6 years and then decide maybe that's not what you want.
And we'll talk about this when we come back from the break. You know, I went to college and studied to be a journalist, air quotes. kind of I am, but not really as much. Mm-hmm. And like last night I went to the planning commission meeting and I used to cover that years ago and now my job has changed again and I'm back doing it. And it's like, oh, I hate court reporting. And it was almost like being in court. The lawyers were there. They were arguing their thing. I mean, again, it was fascinating because I've been around it for a while, but I'm like, yeah, this is why my first year on the job, junior journalist, I got sent to court all the time. And it's like, yucko. I hate court. And it's really funny because ever since I decided that, every job I've ever taken ever since, one of my questions has been, how much of that will I have to do? Because a little goes a long way. Mm-hmm. And that's just me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, yes. Am I fully trained to do it? Yes. Can I do it? Yes. Do I want to do it? Heck to the no. But that's okay. I found another path. We'll take a break when we come back. Kristen Ritterbusch is going to talk to you about, hey, you're going to be around the Thanksgiving table with a lot of people. You're going to be with youngsters that are teenagers wondering what they're going to do. You're going to be with your 35-year-old son-in-law who still, you know, is maybe living in your basement, and you might have a suggestion for something he'd like to do. John Wood is there. I mean, that's what their whole mission is, to get people employed. Yes, it's education. But it's education with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And so that's really critically important. So stay tuned and we'll be back with more information. We're 7 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Kristen Ritterbusch is my guest today. Wherever you go to college, whatever you do, go to trade school, whatever you do, somewhere you're going to need training to do, quote, a job. That may just be on-the-job training. You know, if you think I graduated from 1980 at the University of Illinois and understood how to run this equipment, you're out of your mind. It hadn't even been invented. So obviously we have to be lifelong learners. So tell us about Pathway Days and tell us about how we can get more information, register, and just tune in a little bit more to John Wood. Even if I'm not a student there, they have things to help me because I'm a taxpayer there.
Exactly. So the Pathway Days are going to be listed out. They're all listed out at explore.jwcc.edu. The Healthcare Day is the next one coming up December 6th, so that's next Friday. We have individuals signed up for that, and it's really targeted to high school students, but if you are an adult and you're wanting to explore those options, you're more than welcome to come. We do have a couple schools that are going to bring busloads of students also, so the school themselves can sign groups up if they have a large portion of their students that are interested in healthcare. So you can sign up multiple ways. So explore.jwcc.edu, that'll get you registered. It's going to run from 9:30 to 12:30 that day. And again, you're going to get exposed to a lot of different areas within healthcare, and the hope is that it helps you kind of narrow in on what you might be interested in. And we will have, like I said, we had one for education. We will have in the spring, we will have a trades CTE day, we'll have a transfer pathway day, which is covering all of our programs where you can start a bachelor's degree at John Wood. And you'll also have the opportunity to talk to transfer schools at that, so you can kind of see the full process. That'll be in the spring. We'll have an engineering pathway day in the spring, and also ag. So the goal is eventually to have, we have 12 pathways at John Wood that cover, 75 plus programs. So eventually we'll have a pathway day for all of those.
Wow. It's just fantastic. John Wood does a great job of educating people at wherever they are. And, kids come from, all different backgrounds. And just because you're smart enough to go to Harvard doesn't mean that you should go to Harvard. Frankly, if you're smart enough to go to Harvard, you ought to figure out, why the hell would I spend that much money to go to Harvard? But anyway, I look back. Now, I'm glad I had the social experience. Don't get me wrong, but I could have, we don't have to go there. My parents spent a lot of money for me to drink heavily as a freshman. And we'll end the day on that. Okay, thank you very much.